You're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review.
On today's episode, episode number 286, entitled How to Take Control of Your Mind, Heal Past Trauma, and Raise Your Performance to Unbelievable Levels, I chat with Dr. Don Wood. Dr. Don Wood is an author, speaker, and the creator of the Inspired Performance Institute. In today's episode, Dr. Wood talks about optimizing your performance in life by retraining the subconscious mind. He discusses a multitude of topics, including overcoming traumatic events, reprogramming the subconscious mind, how our minds and memories actually work, and how we can optimize our performance using our minds. If you're wondering how to take control of your mind, overcome trauma, and take your performance to the next level, check this episode out now. You are going to love it. Hey guys, I have some good news to announce. After months of putting this together, a lot of hard work went into this, actually a lot more work than I intended to or thought it would be. But after months of hard work, the Elite Mind audiobook is finally ready. You can go to Amazon.com to get it, type in Elite Mind audiobook, pops right up. It's available on Audible, it's available on iTunes, all the other platforms out there where you can listen to audiobooks, it's available on there as well. The Elite Mind book was the single greatest self-help book ever written. The Elite Mind audiobook is the single greatest self-help audiobook ever recorded. You're going to absolutely love it. Right now, you can go to elitemindbook.com. It'll take you right to the page to order on Amazon. Again, that's elitemindbook.com. Enjoy the audiobook. All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from Elite Man Magazine, and my guest today is Dr. Don Wood, the founder of Inspired Performance Institute. Dr. Don, thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Oh, thanks, Justin. I appreciate it. Took us a little while to get together here.
Yeah, it did. We were supposed to set this up right before the coronavirus pandemic, and then literally like a week before that whole thing happened, we were talking about doing an episode, and I took the course and went through the course. Actually, it's a month-long course that you got that Mo Brissett actually introduced me to. I had him on the show probably a month prior to you and I talking, and he was talking about this guy, Dr. Wood, who was like helping so many people and, you know, changing people's lives left and right with this course. And he took the course and he told me how amazing it was. And then I'm like, dude, you got to, you know, put me in touch with this guy, Dr. Wood. And then I reached out to you and you graciously set me up with that course. And I was doing it like the month into the first month of the pandemic. And then I meant to reach out and get you back on the show because the course is incredible. It's all about mindset and how you think about things and your emotions. There's a lot of NLP things in there, but there's also a lot of other things in there as well for like retraining your mind, your subconscious mind, reprogramming it to for success, trauma, past events, things like that. This is incredible for, but it's also good for people in general who are already high performing, but they want to take it to the next level. Can you talk for a minute about what it is you actually do right now? And then we'll kind of dive more into the course in a moment.
Yeah, what we really did, we developed the program because of trauma. My wife and daughter had experienced trauma, and I saw how it was affecting them. And what I learned is that when you can clear up and update that trauma, performance goes up. So the reason we call it a performance program is because we start with the premise that there's nothing wrong with anybody's mind. Everybody's mind is fine. However, it's being affected by some of these events and experiences in our lifetime that continue to loop and stops our mind from staying present and in the moment. And so if you read all the self-help books, they'll tell you, be present, be in the moment. But our minds don't naturally work like that until we can train it to do it.
So what's actually going on in the mind when, say, you have one of these loops that keeps happening? And like I mentioned a moment ago, even high-performing people, they have these loops. So what's actually like happening, maybe physiologically, if you can break it down to that level, but even more just like practically, like on a surface level for guys to understand, what's actually going on inside the mind?
Well, what's actually happening, this is what I sort of discovered, because I grew up without any trauma, with no real problems. I had idyllic childhood with my parents, never yelling, never screaming. They were the most peaceful people. So I just thought everybody lived like that. So my nervous system was constantly being regulated as a child. And so because if something happened to me during the day, I'm coming back to this very nurturing, safe environment, everything would sort of calm down. So my mind was automatically trained to deal with little bumps and bruises along the way. You know, now trauma, though, is much different because that can really set the mind going into a constant fight or flight response. And so what I couldn't understand is why my wife, when I married her, it didn't all settle down for her because she was living in the world I grew up in. And so what I discovered is that it's memory that is keeping the mind in an active state, because our subconscious mind is our survival brain. And our survival brain operates in the present. It's the same as an animal mind. So animals are fully present in the moment. Their brain works like that 100% of the time. 95% of our mind works just like that. But we have developed two unique features. This conscious awareness, this frontal lobe, that's our ability to use reason and logic. And then we also have the ability to store billions of bits of information. So here's where a glitch is coming in, is when the mind recalls some of that old trauma because something reminded you and your mind then starts looking at it, does its research. I call it Google search. Have we experienced this before? Have we seen this before? What do we need to do? And the problem is it goes into memory and starts pulling up a whole bunch of information about things that happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Because it operates in the present, it thinks it's happening now. So physiologically, it's preparing you for a fight or a flight or freeze, but there's nothing happening. So what I say is that if you think about something that happened to you 5 years ago and you start to feel fear, your heart starts to pound or you start to feel nervous, it's a glitch. Your mind thinks you need to do something and it's trying to get you to do it now. So you should be able to recall traumatic events from years ago without that kind of an emotion, because the purpose of an emotion is a call for action. The purpose of fear is to cause you to run or escape a threat. The purpose of anger is to attack or extinguish a threat. There's no other reason to have an emotion. So if you have an emotion when something's not happening, that doesn't make sense. That's what we figured out. And so we can fix it. And then that stops that constant fight, flight, freeze response. And then the nervous system stays regulated. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it totally does. And so it's basically all based in memory and the programming of your subconscious mind. And like some of the techniques, and I know this from taking the course, but I know a lot of the guys wouldn't be familiar with it if they haven't taken the course. But how do you get so that you can reprogram those memories so that they don't affect you in, say, those moments? Like you're out, like say you had a traumatic experience and, you know, something, whatever it is, this little thing just like familiarizes it, reminds you of that thing that happened in the past. And all of a sudden your heart starts racing and beating really fast. How do you change it so that this person who is attached to this old traumatic experience can get over that experience when they see new things that are similar to it and not have that same reaction?
Yeah, great question. And this is what we go over, as you know, in the whole course, because I believe it's really important to understand what the problem is, because when you understand what the problem is, people always at the end of it go, that makes so much sense. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
So what I learned in the research is that two scientists at the University of Zurich came up with a theory called the time slice theory. And the time slice theory basically states that is consciousness streaming? And what they say is it's not. The subconscious mind is taking in all the information in real time, processing some of that information into time slices to send to the conscious mind. So the subconscious takes in everything and only processes some of it to the conscious mind. And there's a 400 millionth of a second gap in between your subconscious seeing it and processing it and your conscious mind getting the information. Now, that's still pretty fast. Mm-hmm. But what I say happens in that 400 millionths of a second is that the subconscious is doing a Google search because it's survival based to say, have we seen this before? Have we experienced this before? And when it goes into memory and starts pulling up all this data and images, it believes that there's something happening, but there's nothing happening. So you don't know why you're getting scared, why your heart's beating. But it's because your mind is looking at data that you're consciously not aware of.
Yeah.
Right. And so people will say, well, I'm anxious all the time, or I get angry at certain things and I don't know why, right? Or I'm like, my wife was living in fear. So I could say something to my wife like, no, I don't like that. And she'd tear up and say to me, why are you mad at me? And I'd go, wow, like, where did you get I was mad at you from what I just said? And she says, well, the way you said it sounded like you were getting mad at me. And I says, I'm not. She goes, well, you said it like that. And I said, well, now I'm getting mad because you're accusing me of saying something I didn't say. What I didn't understand at the time was that when I would say, no, I don't like that, I may have had something frustrating earlier in the day or maybe on the way home, and my vocal tone changed just slightly, right? I can't hear that. You could pay me, right, to sit and listen to me talk. I would never hear it. She had learned to listen so carefully to the way her father spoke that she could recognize the slightest change because that was a warning sign for her. So when she'd hear my voice change, I thought it was what I just said that was initiating her tears and fear. It wasn't. It was the flood of data about what happened to her as a child, about when her father started getting mad, that would overwhelm her nervous system. So she didn't know why she was crying. She thought it was because I was mad, and it wasn't. Her mind was misinterpreting a whole bunch of data and seeing it below her conscious awareness. So neither one of us could see it.
Yeah.
But her mind really believed that she was in danger now and she needed to protect herself.
Wow. That's terrible. I mean, they can just see that causing like so many fights and problems in different marriages and relationships. And most people have no idea.
No idea
why it's happening.
And even for me, because I was pretty calm, I was pretty much like my dad. I didn't yell, I didn't scream. This was making zero sense to me because I was like, I did not say it like that. I did not get mad. And she'd go, yes, you did, right? And had our marriage not been strong enough, that could have easily turned in. If I'd had some trauma, right? And then my reaction was I felt attacked, then it could have probably turned into some battles that could have deteriorated the marriage. But I was able to sort of, what I did was I started trying to figure out, okay, I'll say it differently. I'll say it calmer. I'll choose my words better. In actual fact, what she was doing was teaching me this program. I didn't realize it because really? You know, through the program, yeah. Right? It's all about the words, the pacing, the timing, right? Yeah. That's what the subconscious mind responds to. And the reason why our program is working is because of the way I present it in that kind of a tone that the mind feels safe and it's willing to listen, right? And then once I get you, and you talked about how the memory is interfering. So when I get you into an alpha brainwave state, in alpha brainwave state, your mind is cycling about 7 to 14 hertz. So it's very, very relaxed, but super focused. Mm-hmm. But when you had a traumatic event, that was recorded in a beta brainwave state where your mind is very fast. It's operating about 15 to 30 hertz because it's taking in a tremendous amount of data, right, and storing it. Mm-hmm. So the problem is that if you go to traditional therapy, you're going to be in a beta brainwave state, recalling beta brainwave memory, and there's no counter to it. So you're experiencing it as if you were right there. So what I do, as you know, as you're going through the program, I'm able to get, and that's why the 4 hours are so important. I'm able to get you into that relaxed, focused state. That when you do recall one of those memories, you remember you did about 2 or 3 minutes of it.
Yeah.
That beta memory starts to align with the state you're in, reprocesses that information into an alpha state, and boom, no longer responds to it. There's no threat.
Yeah. I forgot exactly why that was so important too. You're right though. It makes sense. And so you kind of just learned that. I'm sure you were doing research and stuff, but it must've like hit you at some point that like when I become more calm and start to talk this way, like slower, more peaceful, relaxing, it actually elicits a response from her that aligns more with that alpha state that you were trying to get, right?
Yep. That would make her feel safer. And it was really hard to learn at first because she'd gotten into a pattern of listening so carefully that because she'd been traumatized by her father so much as a child. But as she said, we were the perfect petri dish for developing this because I knew what the model was. I could stay regulated even though she was coming dysregulated.
Yeah.
And so that was a unique situation where I just had a very unique childhood. So had I not had that childhood, I don't think I would ever been able to have done this.
Yeah.
Right.
We'll dive into some more of the exit, because there's like literally, like I mentioned, I think in the beginning of this episode and even before we jumped on, there's so many incredible exercises for people to do to like snap out of these different traumatic experiences and start reprogramming in the mind. There's a ton of them, and a lot of them, some of them are NLP based, but a lot of them are different too. And I want to dive into some of them in a moment. But I kind of forgot to ask, what is your actual background in like training and education, and how did you like start to focus on the mind in this aspect of things?
Well, like I was saying, I was really focused on trauma because of my wife. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't really because of my wife that started it. I at least learned why it was going on. My daughter ended up with Crohn's when she was 14. And so when she was 16, she informed us of some abuse that she had suffered at the hands of a neighbor girl when she was between 6 and 8. And so they kept telling us, you need to change your diet, take her off of gluten, take her off of dairy. And she ended up having 4 resections done of her intestines. I mean, she really suffered. She got very, very sick. And what they said is, you know, they're just going to have to keep cutting out more and more parts until eventually she's got nothing left. She'll have a colostomy bag. And so my wife said, you knew, because I was adopted, so we didn't know my family history and it wasn't on her side. So she had Hashimoto. She developed a thyroid disorder, which is that autoimmune. Mm-hmm. My daughter's was different. Hers was Crohn's. So I believe that these autoimmune issues in a lot of cases are coming from unresolved trauma. Unresolved trauma creates inflammation in the body. The inflammation compromises the immune system and the neurotransmitters.
Yep.
So people are getting sicker and because their immune system's compromised. And they're also feeling bad because their neurotransmitters are compromised. So all they do to treat that right now is teach you how to live and manage and cope with it or give you medication. So I started to realize that I think both my wife and daughter, the trauma was doing something. So my background is in clinical counseling, clinical psychology. So I just started really researching it, saying there's got to be another way than teaching people to manage anxiety, manage depression, right? Yeah. Let's fix it. I said, there's no other profession that, you know, you can't go to your dentist and say, I've got a toothache, and he just numbs you up and then says, I'm going to give you a pamphlet on how to live with toothaches, right? Keep coming back in for some Novocaine.
That's terrible.
But we wouldn't accept it.
Yeah, you're right.
But we're accepting it in the mental health area. And what I'm saying is I believe that everybody is capable of being better. What's interfering with your ability to stay present? And I believe it's coming from this memory loop that continues to loop, which kept my daughter's intestinal area into a cell danger response. And that cell danger response is really where the cells puff out so that they become enlarged and then become hardened to protect it against the threat, right? So it's a protection system until the danger passes. So the idea is nothing gets into the cells, trying to protect it from any kind of foreign invaders, bacteria or whatever, right? So that's where it swells up. The inflammation is designed to protect it. The problem is that's a great system. And as soon as the danger is over, then the swelling should go down. So you know from athletics, right? So if we overwork something, it's going to swell up. The purpose of that is to stop us, right? To allow it to heal, right? And so it's the same thing with inflammation. The idea is let the inflammation come down and then the cells start going back into its normal process.
Yeah.
The problem that I believe was happening for my daughter was the danger had never passed. It continued on and on and on. So it kept that part of her intestinal area in that cell danger response.
Yep.
As soon as we resolve the trauma, boom, the inflammation goes down. Her immune system kicks back in. The body and mind are designed to heal, right? Yeah. So what's interfering with the healing? And I believe it's the trauma loop.
I believe it is too. And I think you're 100% accurate with this. And, you know, there's been just so many different studies too. And I've studied the brain a lot as well, and like traumatic brain injuries, things like that. But they've even seen, they've shown in different studies that the stress response in the brain, for instance, like if you have a traumatic blow or whatever, like they were comparing and contrasting like brain scans and things like that. But adrenaline and cortisol release can actually be just as damaging inside of the brain to neurons, brain tissue, than an actual blow to the head can be in a lot of 100%. Cases. So it's the same thing as what you're talking about. Like that, having that on button, the panic button constantly on, just floods the body with all this excess adrenaline and cortisol and all the other chemicals of flight or flight, fight or flight. And it's literally damaging the tissue. So you can have that in different parts of the body. Of course, some people have it in the brain, some people have it in the thyroid area, some people have it in the liver, et cetera. I mean, it's just a matter of like, you know, which spot is going to show itself in someone's body. And in your case, it was, you know, Crohn's with your daughter and the yep. thyroid, Hashimoto's with your wife, right?
Yeah. And that's why what I say is your fight or flight response is an emergency management system. It's a perfectly designed system. Mm-hmm. It's designed to turn on when there's a threat and turn off when there's no threat. So an animal, for example, so if you took a rabbit, right, a rabbit would get a sensation of hunger. The sensation of hunger is produced by rabbit's mind to tell rabbit to eat. So if the rabbit starts to eat and looks up and sees a wolf, what's going to happen to the sensation of hunger? Instantly shut off and replaced by the more appropriate response to wolf, right, which is fear. So now wolf, so the rabbit now becomes alert, strong, and motivated, more blood flow, more oxygen, more power. So he takes off, he gets into his rabbit hole, he can't see the wolf, can't hear the wolf, and can't smell the wolf. What's going to happen to the fear response? Same thing. Shuts off. Perfectly designed system. We have the exact same system, but we added memory. So it turns on and stays on. And that's what's creating the problem. So if that, like you said, so you got cortisol and adrenaline and norepinephrine constantly flowing through the body, it's going to put the body into that cell danger response and stay active. And then that's going to compromise your immune system, your neurotransmitters. The whole system is on pause, waiting for the danger to be over, like the wolf not to be there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The wolf is perpetual wolf for us.
Yeah. And not only is it like that excess adrenaline, cortisol, et cetera, not only is that actually damaging the cells when you have a flood of it, like too much coming in, but it also shuts down the healing response, the rest and digest of the parasympathetic nervous system, where you have to have that resting to actually heal up. Like when you sleep, that's when most of the recovery happens. But if you're constantly on, like your foot's on the pedal of the gas, you can never heal up. When everything's just constantly going like that, you're never going to have time to rest and heal.
Absolutely. You know, I use the analogy of if you got into your car and you said, I'm going to drive downtown, and you put your foot all the way down to the floor, right? But you use the brake to keep you going 30.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to stress out every system in the car, right?
That's such a good analogy.
Yeah. The engine, the transmission, the brakes, everything's going to get worn out. Mm-hmm. So I never had any trauma as a child. I never get sick. I've been healthy my entire life. I've lived in Florida now 30 years, and I've been to the doctor once, which was actually about 3 weeks ago, because I had some water. You know, when you go in a pool and you can hear your, like plugged up, I couldn't understand. It was just sort of that hollow.
It wasn't from water though? It wasn't from pool?
No, it wasn't from water.
I had that before too. That was weird.
Yeah, it was really strange. And it was just bothering me because I was sort of like, you hear that hollow like ear shell, you know, to the... So I finally said, oh, I'll just go in and see what it was. And what she said is, well, it's not an infection. She says, I'm going to give you some prednisone, right? And I'll give you some antibiotics. And I thought, why would I take antibiotics if there's no infection?
Yeah, good thinking.
And I think I took one prednisone and it was gone.
Yeah, I think sometimes...
She said, that'll just dry it up. Some water got behind the ear.
Yeah, sometimes it's water. Sometimes it's like earwax that kind of gets like built up and just like messes up the...
Yep.
You know, it drains out though in a few days. I think they even have stuff at CVS you can get for like $10 that'll like drain it out if you really need it, but it goes away in my experience.
Yeah. But like I said, in 30 years, it's the first time I ever went to the
doctor. Incredible though.
Yeah. And I believe this is why, because as you learn again in the program, I believe that I got into that deeper delta sleep longer. So I played hockey. I'm from Canada. I played hockey. So I had 6 concussions, 60 stitches.
Wow.
and I never missed a hockey game. So I played through injuries, even though they would say you shouldn't. Right. Mm-hmm. Today they would never have let me play, but I just continued to play. That's the hockey mentality.
Yeah.
So I just continued to play. But what I didn't realize at the time, the reason I was healing from these injuries faster than my teammates was because I didn't have trauma. I would go into a delta sleep, much deeper restorative sleep. And if I'm getting three or four times the delta sleep, restorative sleep than my teammate, no wonder I'm healing in a few days and he's taking two or three weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It makes perfect sense. Now I get it.
Yeah.
After studying this.
Yeah. That is incredible, man. You really did get lucky. You lucked out in that sense for sure. But it's good that you're like training people now to get that back as well. And you mentioned in the program too, which I thought was really interesting. And one of the big takeaways is that, you know, you have, and many people, in fact, have a lot of different traumas or bad experiences or whatever, you know, major events that kind of shape their subconscious mind from that point forward. Sometimes there's like a dozen. Sometimes, you know, people have really bad lives and they've gone through so much hell. And there's just many, like multiple ones that like me and you and I could never even imagine, you know. But the interesting part is you only need to really correct like three of them, right? You don't need to go through every single event in your entire life. Even if you lived your entire life and every day was horrible, something traumatic happened to you, you wouldn't have to go back and replay all these things for some reason. And I'm sure you can describe this in a moment, but for some reason, you only really have to go back and go through three of them. And once you do that, it resets the mind and sort of like the other ones are taken care of automatically, right?
Yeah. And what I discovered is that when we go into theta sleep, right? So which is that dream sleep. So between about 4 and 7 hertz, that's where your mind is processing what it just learned during the day. So it's processing everything. And so what it just learned is how to fix those three. It then starts applying that fix to everything else. And that's what I found out, which was so fascinating.
Yeah.
You know, as an example, I think I'm not sure if I told that story, but a lady who had really bad sexual abuse as a child, multiple events. We worked on three, and then she said to me, she said, "We're going to be here all night because I've got a lot of these." And I said, "We don't need to do any more. Your mind now will be able to process what it just learned and apply it." And she says, "But don't we have to talk about each one and go through it?" And I said, "No." So I ran into her about a month later at a store just by chance. And she came over to me and she says, "I got to tell you something." She goes, "There's no question you cleared up those events." She says, "I was feeling great. I can think about them now. I can talk about them and I don't cry." And she says, "But I didn't believe you when you told me my mind would clear all the others." And she says, "But I was at Universal Studios on the weekend with my daughter and husband, and I was riding on the escalator and I was looking over the railing." She says, "And my daughter said to me, 'Mom, look at what you're doing.'" She goes, "I never told you I had a fear of heights. We never discussed it. But it's gone."
Wow.
So whatever event had created that fear got processed in that, in the restoration period. Because that's what I say is our bodies and minds are designed to heal. You know, if you come in with a broken leg, right, all we have to do is reset the leg and the body will start to heal. The mind will heal that. I believe it's the same thing with the mind. The mind can heal itself. It just got stuck in this loop. And as long as it's in that cell danger response, it's in that constant fight or flight response, we don't do maintenance. So there's not much maintenance getting done. It's minimal maintenance when the body and mind are in that fight or flight state. As soon as we calm all that down, it starts to apply the restoration, the healing.
Yeah. It's incredible too. Like the mind and the body, how, when it's just given the right environment and set back on the right track, like you're putting it, it was basically like a railroad that's a train that's gone off the railroad track and you're just setting it back on. And then after that, it's going to go smooth once you fix that little hiccup in the system. And it's really incredible that's, you know, it takes apparently three, like you've kind of tested this out and figured out that it's three. But once it's like all set up again, it's going to ride beautifully again. That's the mind. You don't need to go through all these horrific experiences and, you know, spend the rest of your days trying to fix the past. You just really got to do this one course, like in a lot of cases, right? And 4 hours is, once they do that initial 4 hours, I believe that is like a 30-day follow-up, but the 4 hours is like the most intensive thing, right?
Yeah. And again, we don't need to get into a lot of detail. So if you remember in some of the techniques that I use, I don't even need to know what the trauma is to heal it. So I've worked with people who have had, you know, horrific kinds of things happen to them, you know, rapes or, you know, physical assaults, car crashes. And we'll basically get into a 2 or 3 minute, you know, highlight reel of it. Mm-hmm. The mind will reset it that quickly. So I've worked with the Boston Marathon bombing survivors, 9/11 survivors, Vegas shooting victim, you know, who was in fact in charge of the entire operation there that night for MGM.
Wow.
And she had been living for 2 years with this PTSD. And so, you know, she tried everything. They'd sent all kinds of counselors. They've done all kinds of things, but she was just constantly living with this. And after going, you can see her testimonial on her site. She just goes, I can't believe in 4 hours, right? She says, I can think about it now. I'm not shaking. I'm not crying. She goes, I've healed. Mm. That's what people are so surprised at, that it can be so quick.
Listen, guys, I know you're probably like me and have neglected your skincare in the past. Whether you're too busy, too lazy, or just clueless, like I was for so long, it's past time you started doing more than just splashing some water on your face. Here's the cold hard truth, guys. Your skin has needs. If you want it to look as good as possible for as long as possible, you need to address them now. We get it. You might not know where to start, but there's a company that's taken all the guesswork out of it for you, Lumen. Lumen is on a mission to help give men the amazing skin they deserve through high-quality, expert-created products delivered right to your door. All of their products are formulated specifically for men's skin and made to target skin issues with maximum efficacy, using top-notch ingredients like charcoal, green tea extract, and vitamin C. It's not just about looking good, it's about feeling good. You need good skin health, especially as you get older, to prevent long-term damage. After using Lumen, my skin feels incredible. It feels fresh and clean and makes me look and feel amazing. Seriously, it's that good. All their products are super easy to use too, so don't worry about having to dedicate much of your precious time each day to applying them. My favorite Lumen products are the Charcoal Cleanser and Ultra Hydrating Moisturizing Balm. These two products keep out the dirt and oil from clogging my pores and make sure my face doesn't get overly dried up after showering, respectively. Even if you have no idea where to begin, Lumen makes it so easy to find the right skin management system for you. Choose from different skin concerns to address, or just pick up a simple starter pack for free. You deserve to look and feel your best, and here's where to start. Go to lumenskin.com/eliteman to get a 1 month free trial of everything you need to start your skincare journey at home. That's lumenskin.com/eliteman to get your first month free. lumenskin.com/eliteman.
What are some of the like techniques and stuff that we sort of hinted at a little bit and that you talk about in the program? There's so many different ones out like that you use. And I like the fact that like if one doesn't work, like you have so many different ones and you're doing them in the course, that like if one isn't for somebody really, they don't really align with that. There's a couple other ones that like are totally different that they can try them out too as well. But what are some of them, the exercises look like just briefly, like maybe touch on a few of them.
Well, one of them, I'll take you through 10 pictures. I'll say just come up with 10 pictures. So the first picture is going to be right before you start the event. Right. So say, for example, it was a car crash. So picture number one is going to be you just driving. Mm-hmm. Right. Picture number 10, it'll be over. So you're not in the crash anymore. So you pick whatever 10 would be. It could be you're in the hospital, you know, you're safe, but you know, you're not in danger now. Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. You could still be hurt, but you're not in danger. So we know what 1 and 10 are. And then what I'll say to you is I'll take you through a series of these pictures. We don't have to, I don't even know what 2 through 9 are. I don't even sometimes even know what 1 and 10 are. I'll take you through those pictures in a sequence. And then we start to jumble up the sequence. And when the mind's in that alpha state, it's able to start the process of saying, well, this isn't happening, right? It didn't happen this way. Mm-hmm. And so then it'll reprocess it into from a beta state into an alpha state. And then when your mind sees it in that lower frequency state, it doesn't respond to it. It's just information now. But when you're in a beta state, you're in a high frequency, high energy state where the mind now is feeling like there's a threat. So I worked with a U.S. Army sniper who had to shoot and kill a 12-year-old boy. And so as he was trying to, he couldn't even talk, get the words out of his mouth. He just sobbed. And he's been in the VA. He'd been in the VA for 8 years and they just kept medicating him. And so he said, I just can't live like this anymore. And he said, I can't live with what I had to do. By the time we were finished, he was able to describe everything in complete detail to me. And he said to me, he goes, how the bleep did you just do that? He says, how can I talk about it now? And I said, for 8 years, your mind has been trying to get you not to pull the trigger. It's been trying to fix it. It's been trying to stop you from doing it. Don't get in the accident. Don't go through that door. So that's what the same thing what my wife was doing, right? She was always what-ifing her life. What if I had have done it this way? And she'd say to me, don't you wish we never had met that person? Or don't you wish we never got into that, you know, situation or that business? And I could never get into that kind of mindset. And I just go, well, why do you do that to yourself? She'd go, but wouldn't it be better? What I didn't realize is that what her mind was doing for her ever since she was a little girl. It was trying to fix it. Mm. So for the sniper, the way to fix it was not to shoot. So his mind was trying to get him not to pull the trigger. That would solve the problem.
Yeah.
But it wasn't possible. But if your mind keeps asking you for that action and you don't take the action, right, then the mind is going to shut down or continue to call for the action, one or the other. And that's what I believe depression is. Depression is the absence of an emotion. The mind has stopped calling for the emotion because the emotion that it's been calling for is not getting an action because it can't get the action. It's impossible. So it just shuts down.
Yeah.
As soon as you resolve that there's no action required, the depression will lift.
That's pretty cool. And so you're not trying to like, you know, basically you let go of, you know, the track that keeps skipping and playing over and over and over and telling you, you know, don't shoot or don't go through that door or don't do this, you know, instead of doing that and like fighting it off, you're almost just like deconditioning the response to what has already happened. So that when they see this, they've, you know, they took in the shot, they've walked through that door, they've got molested, they got whatever that happened to them that was terrible. They don't associate that anymore with the strong feeling that they were getting before of like that horrible dread and pain that they associated with that thing. It's just a detachment that you've basically come in and figured out how to do it. You've come in and taken them away from that attached emotion and just detached them from that whole situation that keeps making that track skip in their head.
Yeah, because the mind won't call for an emotion anymore. Mm-hmm. There's no emotion required. The purpose of the emotion was for the action. If there's no action required, there's no emotion. So that's why he could talk about it now, because now his mind realized he wasn't shooting a 12-year-old boy. He had already done it. So the mind knows we're not doing anything that needs to stop. It's already over. So it's like an update. So we reset the mind to understand that that's old information.
In your experience, do people ever, like, does this last forever once it's set back on track, or does it ever, like, do people ever relapse, so to speak, and then go back to, like, you know, the guy, for instance, like, thinking, like, 6 months down the road or a couple of years down the road, starts dwelling again about the thought of the shooting the kid?
No, that's the great part about it, because once we've reset that data, it's reset. So the way I describe it is we're doing the opposite of what they did with The Wizard of Oz, where they took it from black and white to color. We're going from color to black and white. Once it's reset in black and white, there's no way it can go back to color unless you relived it exactly the same way. Because when you're in that event, all your senses are heightened, sight, smell, hearing. So how's it recording it? What I call high definition. So it records that memory in high definition, and it's the intensity and brightness that is creating the call for the emotion because it looks so real. So, you know, Hollywood has made trillions of dollars on capitalizing on the way we see things. So that's why we can go to a movie and cry or get scared or jump, right? Because your subconscious mind, your survival brain, right, immediately goes into action and thinks something's happening, even though it's not happening at all.
Yeah.
It's just information. The same as a movie is information. Why would we cry at a movie? Because if you use your logical part of your brain, it would go, well, that's Leonardo DiCaprio. He's not drowning in the ocean. Kate Winslet is just acting. Right? Like, so Titanic is just a movie about something, right? Yeah. But your subconscious mind says Jack is drowning and she's not doing anything, right? She's going to let him drown. Mm. There's where the emotion comes from, saying don't let him drown.
Yeah. How important is it to, and I forget exactly how the course went with this particular thing, but how important is it in the course to first feel the traumatic experience or whatever past experience you want to get over, like feel the sensations of it and see it in like real time. Cause sometimes people, for instance, like something happened like 30 years ago and then they sort of have suppressed it or gotten over it to an extent, but they don't realize that it's really like messing them up subconsciously and affecting them day to day life. So how important is it for them to, if they can't like just see it right away, they're not seeing it all the time consciously or thinking about it all the time. How important is it to them to tap into that memory that it happened 30 years ago, say, and actually feel it all before then you start to like reprogram it? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, generally, if it's active and the mind is still trying to solve it, even if they start to bring it up, they'll start to feel the emotion. Because generally what I'll say is, you know, I've had people say to me, you know, I've never had any real trauma. You know, I can't really think of anything. And I say, so it doesn't have to be big T trauma. It can be an event, an experience, you know, something that was disturbing, you know, maybe a coach, right? You're all excited. You think you're going to be a Major League Baseball player. And he laughs at you and says, you're not going to be a Major League Baseball player. You're not good enough. You're not big enough. You're not strong enough, right? That could have an effect on you. And so somebody would say, well, that doesn't bother me. But when you get them into that very relaxed state, you say, can you tell me about a time where maybe you had an experience, you'll see the emotion show up.
Mm-hmm.
And so it will definitely show up.
Okay.
And then we can fix it.
All right. So it always does show up in that situation when you're in the moment and you ask them to recall it, it does always pop up. Maybe it's not overwhelming and it's not crying, but you can see something popping up.
Yeah. And like I said, I had one lady who said to me, same thing. I've never had anything. And I said, can you think about any time where maybe something was just, you know, upsetting? When you recall it. And she starts thinking, she says, well, there was one time, and she says, I was about 6 and I was in church and I can see her eyes starting to well up. Right. And then she's like, oh my gosh, I don't know why. She says, and she starts crying. She says, I was talking and my grandmother hit me with a hairbrush over the head and said, stop talking, it's church. And she says, you know, I just realized I lost my voice that day. I don't ever speak up for myself.
Wow.
And so that would never, right, have occurred to her that was a problem. But when she started to get into it and think about it, that's where the tears started coming. And that's where the connection between how she was embarrassed, right, and hurt that somebody that she loves, right, had just done that to her. Now, did her mother or grandmother mean to try to do that to her? No, she's probably just reacting. You can't speak in church, right, and taps her on the head. To her, it was like, you know, she just slammed me with this hairbrush. You know, I've had people say that. I had one guy tell me that his father hit him really hard across the back of the head, you know, with his ring on. You know, but then as he started to think about it, he probably said, well, he probably wasn't trying to hit me with the ring. He was probably trying to get my attention. But as a child, right, you don't have enough life experience to interpret this. Right. So then when you keep recalling it, it was like, yeah, my dad punched me in the back of the head with a ring on. Chances are he didn't really do it that way, but a young child could have interpreted it that way.
Yeah, for sure. And
then it gets stuck.
You know, it just keeps looping and you got the problems. But I do like the fact that you don't have to have had something like crazy traumatic happen or, you know, mm-hmm. this experience that is just like life altering for you to start performing better. And the people that you work with too, like I mentioned before, that it's not all about, like, it's incredible for trauma and getting over, say, panic attacks and depression and PTSD, like you mentioned a moment ago, but it's also good for like higher performance for like, say, high performing entrepreneurs or, you know, business owners or athletes or whatever. Like, how does it, and I know you work with this, but how does it look when you work with some of these guys?
Well, it's amazing because when you have people who are high performers, everybody thinks that they've got everything all sort of nailed down, everything's buttoned up. But it could be something small that could be affecting. What I say is everybody has another gear, right? So even these high performing athletes, these high performing CEOs and executives still have another gear. What could be interfering with that is maybe just a little fear about something that somebody had said to them when they were children, you know, a parent or a doubt. You know, I had one guy who his business was just struggling to get off the ground. He was a new, you know, an entrepreneur trying to build his business. And again, no major trauma in his life, but he just couldn't get his business going. And what it came down to was that when he was a child growing up, he lived in a very conservative house with parents that said, you know, you go to college, you get a job, you get a pension, you buy a house, and you retire. Right? That was the model, right? That's what his parents did. So they encouraged that. But he was an entrepreneur. So the fact about trying to take any risk scared him. He didn't realize it was scaring him. So everything he was trying to do was avoid risk. So instead of buying products, you know, and you know, going and getting an office space and retailing his products, he would try to work with somebody who had their own place and maybe share in some of the expenses. So he was always trying to figure out how to avoid, right, taking the risk. But entrepreneurs run in the face of risk. They run right into the burning building, right? He couldn't do it, didn't realize that he wasn't doing it. He just thought he'd change his plan to avoid the risk. And that's what was stopping him. After he went through the program, he did $1 million worth of business that year.
Wow.
Because he then realized, right, that was what was just holding him back, is that fear of taking a risk.
Yeah.
You know, so there's lots of little things like that. It can be a simple event, and those are parents certainly not trying to hurt him.
Yeah. Right? It's the littlest thing. Yeah. You wouldn't even think that.
And he didn't even realize it until all of a sudden, you know, it was just like, yeah, it scares me to go and get a bank loan. It scares me to get a credit card. You know, I've been taught don't put any debt. Well, I don't know a business person yet who's been successful who hasn't built up debt to try to build their business.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. So when you took him through the course, then that little thing popped up, and that was a game changer for him once he corrected that. That was a
game changer. He still listens to the audios because the 30 days of audios that you listen to.
Yeah.
This has been almost 5 years. He still listens to them. He loves them.
Yeah. And what's the follow-up for that? I was meaning to ask you that, but I kind of forgot. What is the 30-day? So you get the 4 hours, like the intensive, where you're going through this process and having them bring up those memories and stuff, and then you use the techniques, the NLP, and then many of the other ones. You mentioned one today, but there's a ton of them in there. There's like a dozen or so in there. But then after that, there's the 30 days. So what's that 30-day follow-up look like, and why is that so important?
The reason it's important is because we actually have two memory systems. We have this explicit memory, which is what we work on in the 4 hours, the way we store all the details about events. No animal can do that. Animals don't store memory that way, but we do. So it's a great system we have, but it's interfering with the primitive survival brain, right? Taking it constantly as real. But we have the same memory system that animals have, which is procedural memory, associative memory, on how we learn by repetition and programming. So if you want to teach an animal how to do something, you repeat it over and over. Same thing as athletes, right? If you want to learn how to hit a golf ball, right, you can use the logical part of the brain all you want. But until you start swinging a golf club, you're not going to build that memory up, that repetitive procedural memory.
Yep.
So what happens is because we've had trauma, we've created workarounds or patterns, what I call codes. We build codes to work around, right, dealing with these problems. That has to be updated as well. But you can't just use the logical, reasonable part of the mind. You've got to teach, and that's what the audios are designed to do, is to start focusing on making those changes. So if I want to make a swing change to my golf swing, right, I'm going to have to then focus on making that change so my mind will then develop the code for it. And so that's what the audios are for. So a lot of the work gets done in that 4 hours. But when people take the it's actually 28 days of audios. When people add in those 28 days of audios, they get maximum benefit because now you've worked on the procedural memory as well. So that's what I believe addiction is as well. Addiction, I don't believe, is a disease. I believe it's a code. You had emotional pain, right? And what you did is you started to use a drug or alcohol to stop the pain. Well, that makes perfect sense, right? Nobody wants to be in pain. The brain will do whatever it can do to avoid pain. So what happens is because you repeat it, then the second memory system locks in, which is your survival brain, building up a code on this as a way to survive. I've got to take this heroin. I got to take this alcohol. That keeps me alive. And then somebody comes along and says, no, 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 that's bad for you. You've got to stop doing that. That's why they can't stop, is because the survival brain has built a code that this drug is critical for survival. And so it just won't give it up. So we're getting people out of addiction by taking the approach of there's nothing wrong with you. You built a code. We got to first fix what started the code, which is the pain that started the need for the relief. And then we've got to let the mind update to understand that the relief is not coming from the substance.
Yeah.
And then the mind then resets. So that's we're incredible. Getting people off of, if you go to our site, you'll see a lady called Michelle. She was 17 years in addiction and she hasn't touched it. She hasn't gotten near it. She just said, I can't believe, you know, I did everything. She did all the rehab, all the kinds of stuff. Another guy, his name was Mario. Mario said, the difference between what you did and what rehab and AA and NA did, he was an alcoholic. Is he had a very successful functioning CEO.
Wow.
And he said, the difference between your program and that was whenever I got out of rehab, I could not stop thinking about wanting to use. I got out of your program, I don't ever think about it now. Because I believe that they reinforce it. You're broken, you're defeated. Every day you need to admit that you're never, ever going to be not an alcoholic or not a drug addict. I would never tell any human being that. You can imagine starting the NFL season and the coach comes in and says, guys, we're never going to probably win a game. Right? But let's go out and try our hardest.
Yeah.
Right. We're just not good enough athletes.
Yeah. Right?
There's no way they're going to win a game.
Yeah.
I believe we're way better.
It seems like a horrible approach. Like, I think there's a lot of good to some of those things, like the AMA meetings and, you know, the socializing and the connecting with other people and sharing your story. There's definitely some benefits with that. But I always have disagreed and agree with you that, you know, that philosophy of admitting, you know, defeat before you even try, it's like, and then saying that over and over again, it's just like, you know, you wonder why it doesn't really work for a lot of people.
Yeah. And like I said, the intent is terrific, right? So I never criticize, you know, I get it. That socialization, the connection to other people who are experiencing that. So I'm not saying that it's bad people doing things to, you know, to hurt people. I think their intention is great.
Yeah.
However, I think there's a better way. And that system has been around a long time. And sure, it has helped a lot of people. But when I meet people who have gone through that, they'll tell you that pain's not over.
Yep.
Right? Because nobody had been solving the pain. So the reason AA and NA help some people is because they work on procedural memory. So if you can stay away from the drugs and alcohol long enough, your mind is building a new code that it doesn't need the drugs or alcohol. What they didn't solve is what we do in the 4 hours, what started the pain.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you never solve that problem, right, you can see why people fall back into addiction. Because the mind still says, it still retains the code, even though, and then it says, oh, that pain again just came up, right? They got into another relationship, broke up. Now they start drinking again, right? Because of connection to the original pain.
Definitely. That makes sense. I love how you hit on both sides of it too. Would you say that the 28 days is like kind of similar to like hypnosis tracks? I remember listening to them, and this is a few months ago, but I kind of, it's not exactly hypnosis, but it sort of reminded me of it a little bit.
Yeah. Hypnosis goes much deeper. What I have found is we don't need to go that deep.
Mm-hmm.
So we keep you in that alpha brainwave state where hypnosis is really being done like for you, where this is, you're doing it.
Okay.
So it's actually, so it's not as deep. Your mind is still staying active and involved. Where hypnosis is more, you would sit there and I would take you through the hypnosis and take you through everything. This is really more your mind. I'm just guiding it.
Yeah.
Allowing your mind to do all the work because it's faster, I believe, and it's more permanent.
Cool. And then, like you said, it's the procedure. So you actually want people to be sort of more conscious so they can like get the repetitions in, right?
Yep. 100%. So that they can hear it, they can process it. And that to me is the best way to do. That's what I have found is much more effective.
Cool. And then how, like, we'll wrap up in just a second, but I did want to ask you, how important is it for someone when they first do the 4 hours for them to stick through it the entire 4 hours, like straight and not like piece it out? Is that a big issue or is that not really a thing?
No, it really is, because it take, like I said, nobody's really doing 4 hours. The reason it works is because we get you into that restorative mindset. So if you say, oh, I'm going to listen to it for 30 minutes today, I'll follow up another 30 minutes. You may come in and out. You may start moving into it and then you come out and then you start off. You're in a beta brainwave state again. We got to try to move you in there.
Yep.
So if you can do the whole 4 hours is what I really ask people to stick with, because that's really what works.
Yeah. I figured that was the case too. I just wanted to make sure on that. And yeah, I mean, there's literally so many incredible techniques and exercises in that 4 hours that I love personally and took a lot out of and had no idea. I've been around NLP and all this stuff for years now, but there was some really cool ones that stuck out to me. And I was like, this is really cool. And I could see it, like, you know, I could tell some change right away. And man, you just go on your site too, like the testimonials, the videos of people and their results. It's pretty incredible. Like, what, before we go, and just a moment, we'll wrap things up. What are the conditions of people that you've helped people overcome or reverse like 100% using your course? We mentioned the PTSD, the guy who was a veteran and he came up, we had to shoot the 12-year-old kid, unfortunately. What are some of the other like big ones though that you've helped?
So big ones are Boston Marathon, Rebecca Boston Gregory, Marathon, you'll see hers, right? She was 3 feet from the first bomb and had PTSD for 5 years and it's gone now.
Wow.
I worked with Marco Chisetto. He's another really interesting guy. He was a marathon runner from Kenya, got a scholarship to Alaska, and his cousin came with him, was also a runner, just didn't adapt to the environment, ended up committing suicide. Marco tried to take his life twice. He was so distraught over it. On the second attempt, he went out for a run after taking a handful of antidepressants they had given him, and he passed out in the snow for 3 days.
Wow.
He ended up losing his legs because the frostbite was so bad. And so he started to learn how to walk again on prosthetics, and then they made him some blades and he started running. And so then they called me up and they said, you know, this guy's an incredible athlete. We think he has a chance to go, you know, in the Olympics, right? Even running on these blades, but he's plateaued. He's not improving no matter how much more training he's getting. He's sort of hit a peak. We now think it's in his mind. So he came to see me. This was a year ago in February. And he came to see me. He ran in the first race 9 days later and took 15 seconds per mile off his marathon time, which is huge at that level.
Yeah.
And then a few weeks later, he ran in the Boston Marathon and he broke the world record for amputees.
Whoa.
And then a few months later, ran the Chicago Marathon and broke his own world record by another 5 minutes and got signed by Nike.
Huh. Wow.
And so that all came. And what he said was, it was all in my mind. Right. So I believe that when we have that cell danger response, the ATP, the energy in the cell, is also compromised.
Yeah.
When we get that released, right, we just have more power. So I worked with Tim Burke, who's a long drive competitor, competes in the golf, the long drive. Mm-hmm. He went through our program a year ago and he just said, I've never been so calm playing golf. And he, after going through our program, he went to the first tournament of the year in Phoenix last year, and he won it. And then he got in the finals of the second tournament, won the third tournament, and then placed in the finals of every tournament all year. And what he said was, I mean, he made his final drive in the very first tournament was 474 yards.
Whoa.
I said, I don't go that far on vacations. I mean, it was incredible. But that's what he said. He had more power. He had more focus. So when that energy is now laser focused, when you're in an alpha brainwave state, you just have more power.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so good for athletes.
Yeah.
The best athletes in the world can really use that kind of mental focus. Every athlete can.
Yeah.
So it works for athletes. I've also worked with people who've had panic attacks. If you watch Kirk had 30 years of panic attacks and they're gone. He hasn't had, he had $100,000 worth of medical bills in the last 10 years before going through the program.
Wow.
He went through the program 4 years ago, and no more panic attacks,
That's incredible. No more hospital bills. That is nuts.
Yeah.
It's awesome, man. And like I said, there's so many, like, you guys just check out the site and look around on some of those, testimonials and reviews, their video reviews, a lot of them. And, I mean, it's incredible. Like you just said, Dr. Wood, a moment ago, there's just so many across the board too. It's so cool. It's not just like one area this helps. It's like every little area where there's a mental hiccup going on, whether it's severe or just like, you know, a little bit of improvement, it always helps. And, you know, you want to be the best at everything you're doing anyways. So it can help like so many people across the board. Just wrapping things up, what's a last send-off takeaway message you'd like to leave the Elite Man audience, and then a place our listeners can check out your website and this program?
Yeah, the thing I always like, and people seem to really resonate with, is that there's nothing wrong with anybody, right? The first thing I do when I sit down, whether I worked with a lady, like I said, who had been on heroin, she been in therapy for 7 years, and she came in and sat down with me, and she said, I told my therapist I was coming to see you, so he told me I have to be honest with you and upfront and tell you I have self-destructive behavior. I don't believe that the mind self-destructs. So I said to her, I sort of smiled. I said, really, what would make you think you're self-destructive? And she looks at me because she's never heard somebody say that before. And she says, well, I'm sticking a needle in my arm with heroin. Don't you think that's self-destructive? I said, no, I don't. I think you're trying to feel better. And I'll bet you when you stuck the needle in your arm, you felt better. That's what you were trying to do. That makes sense, right? Now, the substance you're using is destructive. But you're not destructive. You're just trying to feel better. I get that, right? That changes the whole dynamic of the way we're treating people. Take away all that shame and that guilt, right? There's nothing wrong with anybody. Everybody has that ability to rise up. And so whether that's a CEO of, I worked with a lady who was a top sales agent in a real estate company by far, I mean, by far number one. She goes through the program and the next 2 years triples her sales.
Wow.
And, you know, now some of that is market, so I won't take all the credit. But at the same time, what she said is, I found my true self. I was, because she said, I feel like I can't be authentic. I'm afraid to let my guard down, that I'm in with sharks and the sharks are going to attack me if they think I'm vulnerable. That, she said, but that's not who I am. I really want to be who I am, but I'm afraid to. And so once she got to that, her authentic self, that was the next gear she had. So even though most people would look at her and say, you know, what would she need to improve on? She's already at the top of her field. Nope, she had another gear.
Nice. And what's the name of the website and the course for guys to check it out?
Yeah, the website is the inspiredperformanceinstitute.com. And the program is called TIP, which is T-I-P-P, which is the Inspired Performance Program.
Cool. All right. So I'll make sure I add that in the show notes, guys. You can just click the link and check it out. I really do encourage you, just, you know, check out the program, check out the reviews, the testimonials. It really is incredible. If you think it can help you in some way of improving your life, whether that's getting over a traumatic past event, some experience that's really holding you back, or, you know, panic attacks, depression, any of the mental health areas, or whether it's just a performance thing, like we talked about, a high functioning person, you want to be more successful. And like you mentioned, Dr. Wood, going from 3X in your sales basically in just 2 years. I mean, you know, things like that. It's pretty incredible. I really love the program myself. I actually want to go through again because I did it right before the pandemic started. And I think it kind of, you know, I got a little, wasn't as dedicated to it as I should have been, but I want to go back and do it myself. And I'll share some of those results with you more when I do that. But Dr. Wood, thanks so much for coming on the show, man. I really do appreciate it. And I know our guys are going to love this one. So take care and I'll talk to you soon, man.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Justin. Take care.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I'd like you to do. And that's this. Subscribe to our podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing to the podcast, you get every single episode the minute they're released. Get all of our Elite Man podcast episodes and all of our world-class advice absolutely free. Subscribe now if you haven't already and become an Elite Man today. And yes, if you do love the podcast, leave us an amazing review. We really do appreciate it.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.